بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today, this is our session number 22. Session number 22, reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 3, Level 3, yani the first half of Book 3. Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And today, inshallah, we intend to take a new lesson. This lesson is relatively short. There are actually two points that are covered in the English key. The Arabic text is not even one full page. And the exercises, for the most part, are just two pages of exercise. Okay, so we hope, by the permission of Allah, that we can cover the entire lesson today. However, it's not like a necessity that we have to. I think the time should be sufficient for us to cover the entire lesson. Everybody had a chance for homework to read through the English key and to identify any areas that are unclear, so that during this session, inshallah, whatever was unclear while you were doing it for homework, inshallah, hopefully we'll try to clear up, and you also have a chance to ask some questions if you want to type in a question. Now, or you can send an email after the class, and I'll try to respond to any questions. Okay, so let's begin with the English key. There's quite a bit of new material in this lesson, even though it's not a lot. There are only two points, but it's quite involved. So we want to take our time and go through it carefully. And again, if there are questions, please, I'll try to look at the screen. Hopefully I'll pay attention to the screen. If somebody has a question, I'll try to stop and go back over it or explain it in another way so that hopefully it will become clear. Okay, again, there are only two points of grammar in this lesson. The first point is the main point. So we're going to spend most of the time with that. Second point is also an important point. But we're not going to spend as much time with it. The discussion concerning it is not as lengthy and not as involved. All right, so let's get started. I hope that you have read carefully the lesson beforehand. And as I said, if there are some points that were not clear, hopefully we'll clear them up now, and you'll have a chance to bring it to my attention, of whatever it is that's not clear, to give me a chance to explain it again. Okay, let's read together from page 39, lesson 10, from the English key. In this lesson, we learn the following. Okay, so the first point of this lesson is that the types is related to the types of Arabic sentence. Now, we've known previously, we have already learned in book 2, lesson 1, the beginning of book 2, lesson 1, that there are two types of sentences in Arabic. The nominal sentence, al-jumla, al-ismiya, and the verbal sentence, al-jumla, al-fi'liya. The nominal sentence, al-jumla, al-ismiya, commences with a noun, with an ism. That's why it's called al-jumlatu, al-ismiyatu, because it begins with an ism, a noun. For example, al-baytu, jamilun. Al-bayt is a noun, so this is a nominal sentence. The house is beautiful. Whereas the verbal sentence commences with a verb, a fi'l, as in dakhala al-mudarrisu. The teacher has entered. So dakhala is a fi'l, and therefore this is a jumla fi'liya. Two types of sentences in the Arabic language. Jumla ismiya begins with a ism, a noun, and jumla fi'liya begins with a fi'l, a verb. Here are some more details about these two types of sentences. More details. Okay, so the details entail, for the jumla ismiya, the details are related to how it begins. There are three different ways that the jumla ismiya may begin. We're going to look at all three of them. As far as the jumla fi'liya, there are two different ways that it may begin. And we're going to look at both of them. Alright, so in reference to the jumla fi'liya, in the homework assignment, I mentioned to read carefully exercise number 2. Because exercise number 2 on page 85 is the Arabic explanation of these two types of sentences, jumla ismiya and jumla fi'liya. And this is very, very important, that we read it in Arabic and make sure we understand what we need to understand. So what you need to know is that there are three ways that the jumla ismiya can begin. And we're going to look at all three of them now. And there are two ways that the jumla fi'liya can begin. If you know the three ways that the jumla ismiya can begin, and you know the two ways that the jumla fi'liya can begin, then that's the core of this lesson. There's still the verb tafiqa, yani the second point of this lesson, but this is really the core of the lesson. The three ways in which a jumla ismiya may begin, and the two ways in which a jumla fi'liya may begin. So here are some details about these two types of sentences. We're on the bottom of page 39, English key for lesson number 10. The nominal sentence. Okay, so the three ways that a nominal sentence may begin. The beginning of the nominal sentence is one of the following. A, I'm going to summarize it first and then we're going to go back and read it. One way is it begins with a noun or a pronoun. B, it may begin with a masdar mu'awwal. Or C, it may begin with a particle resembling a verb. So these are the three ways. It may begin with a noun or a pronoun. It may begin with a masdar mu'awwal, which we're going to explain what that is. And it may begin with a particle resembling a verb. This is a new expression, but we know the particle resembling the verb. It's inna wa akhawatuha. We had that, yani, in the beginning lessons of book 2. So, the particle resembling the verb, we already are familiar with completely. The noun or the pronoun that begins the jumla ismiya, we're very familiar with. The one that we may not be familiar with at all is the masdar mu'awwal. That's the second way that a jumla ismiya may begin, and we're going to look at that in detail. Alright, so that's the summary. Three ways the nominal sentence may begin: with a noun or a pronoun, a masdar mu'awwal, or a particle resembling a verb. يعني الحروف المشبهة بالفعل. Okay, so let's read now the details of what they said from the bottom of page 39, the nominal sentence. The beginning of the nominal sentence is one of the following. A noun or a pronoun. A noun or a pronoun. For example, هذه مدرسة. This is a school. So هذه is an ism إشارة. That's a يعني pronoun, demonstrative pronoun. So when we say a pronoun, we mean a demonstrative pronoun, yani a personal pronoun, a relative pronoun, pronouns, nouns and pronouns. هذه مدرسة. This is a school. So هذه is a demonstrative pronoun, right? اسم الإشارة. Second example, أنا مجتهد. I am a مجتهد, yani a diligent, hardworking person. أنا is also a pronoun, but it's a personal pronoun, right? It's a dhamir, personal pronoun, but it's still a pronoun. The third example, Allahu ghafurun. Allah is forgiving. Here, yani this sentence begins with the love dhal jalala, the name Allah, which is an alam, yani ism alam, yani a proper noun. So, again, they could have given more examples. We'll see more examples in the lesson. Could be a proper noun, ism alam. Could be a common noun, like al-bayt, or yani al-rajul. Could be a common noun. It could be a proper noun. Could be a personal pronoun, demonstrative pronoun, relative pronoun. All of these come together under the title of a noun or a pronoun. Various types of nouns, various types of pronouns. These are just three examples: demonstrative pronoun, personal pronoun, and a proper noun. The three examples they gave us: هذه is a demonstrative pronoun, أنا is a personal pronoun, and the love of the Jalala Allah is a proper noun. Okay, let's look at the next point, the next way that a jumla ismiya may begin. And this one is detailed, okay? B, a masdar mu'awwal. Al-masdaru al-mu'awwalu. That is a clause functioning as a masdar. A clause functioning as a masdar. There's a footnote one. We're going to come back to that one. We're just going to read the example first. For example, a clause functioning as a masdar. For example, antasumu khayrun lakum. Antasumu khayrun lakum. That you fast is better for you. Here the clause, en tasumu, this is a clause. The particle en, which is harf masdar, the particle en, and the verb tasumu. Together, it's a clause. It's a clause. It functions as a masdar. Yani a masdar is a noun that has the meaning of action, like climbing, jumping, running, right? Dukhul, entering, khuruj, exiting, nuzul, descending. Those are masdars. Kitaba, writing. So, here we have a clause which is composed of a harf masdar, n, the particle n, and a verb. Together, they are called a clause known as al-masdar al-mu'awwal, composed of two things, the particle n and the verb. So these two things together, this clause, functions as a masdar, as a noun, an infinitive, masdar, infinitive, that has the meaning of action. Because here, antasumu means as-sawm, or as-siyam, fasting. Okay, it's a noun that has the meaning of action, but it doesn't tell you who's doing the action or the time of the action. That's why it's not a verb, because a verb has three elements, right? It has the meaning of an action, it tells you who's doing the action, and it tells you the time frame, past tense, present tense, or so on. Alright, so this is not a verb, it's a noun. An infinitive or a masdar is a noun that has the meaning of action, like fasting, running, jumping, so on. Alright, let's go back and look at it one more time. The second way that a jumla ismiya may begin. The first way is it begins with a noun or a pronoun. The second way it begins with a masdar mu'awwal. That is a clause that's functioning as a masdar, having the meaning of a masdar. A noun that, yani, has the meaning of action. This clause, yani, is composed of two parts, the particle n and the verb. And together, they give us the meaning of a masdar, which is a noun that has the meaning of action. So if you say, an tasumu, that you fast, khayrun lakum, is better for you, is the same as saying, yani, as-sawmu khayrun lakum, or as-siyamu khayrun lakum. Okay, we're going to see more examples of this as we go along. Before we go to C, which is the third way that a jumla ismiya may begin, that is, the particle resembling a verb, we want to look at some details about this second point, the masdar mu'awwal. So here they give us a lot of examples in the footnote, number one, right? In the second half of the page, they give us a lot of examples. They show us that this masdar mu'awwal, it can be in the place where it's marfu'un, in the position of being marfu'un, yani, for example, as a mubtada, or it can be in the place of being marfu'un as a khabar, or it can be in the place of being marfu'un as a fa'il. So, sometimes the masdar mu'awwal, the position it has in the sentence is the position of being the mubtada, or the khabar, or the fa'il. Sometimes it's in the position in the sentence where it's the maf'ulun bi. So it's in the place where it should be mansub. And sometimes it comes in the sentence in the position where it should be majroor, yani fi mahalli jar. Okay, but in any case, this particle and the verb can be interpreted to the meaning of a masdar. That's why they say it functions as a masdar. Let's look at the examples that they gave us for arraf. The first examples, it says, footnote number one, here are some examples of the masdar mu'awwal. So the first three examples they give us, and they're not numbered, but the first three examples that they give us show the masdar mu'awwal in the position of being of raf. Okay, it says, in the place of raf, meaning it's in the position where it should be marfu'un. And in that case, this masdar mu'awwal, if it was replaced by a masdar, that masdar would be marfu'un with dhamma. But here, this is a clause, so we don't say it is marfu'un, we say it's fi mahalli raf, in the place where it should be marfu'un. So the first example they gave us is an tadrusa al-arabiyyata afdalu. An tadrusa, that you study Arabic, is afdal, is better. Here, yani an tadrusa, here it is mubtada. So the meaning, if we change it to a masdar, an tadrusa means dirasa. يعني إذا ما استطعت دراسة studying العربية is أفضل is better. دراسة العربية يعني دراسة is the master which يعني is the interpretation of the master مؤول أن تدرس that you study the particle أن plus the verb تدرس together may be interpreted into a master or translated into a master دراسة أن تدرس العربية becomes دراسة العربية أفضل. Okay, so the master مؤول is a clause that can be interpreted or replaced by an actual master. Second example, also, يعني where the master مؤول is going to be in the position of being مرفوع, but this time as a خبر. الإسلام أن تؤمن بالله. الإسلام أن تؤمن بالله. Islam is that you believe in Allah. Islam means that you believe in Allah. Or Islam is that you believe in Allah. أن تؤمن, that you believe بالله in Allah. Here, the أن تؤمن, here is the خبر. In this sentence, it's the خبر. So if you translate أن تؤمن to the master, it would mean الإيمان. يعني the master, فآمن يؤمن is الإيمان. So the sentence الإسلام أن تؤمن becomes الإسلام الإيمان بالله. الإيمان is the master taking the place of the master مؤول أن تؤمن. The third example they gave us, ينبغي أن تكتب عنوانك بوضوح. ينبغي, it is necessary, أن تكتب, that you write, عنوانك, your address, بوضوح, legibly or clearly. Here, أن تكتب is the file of ينبغي. ينبغي أن تكتب. يعني the file of ينبغي is أن تكتب. ينبغي أن تكتب. So here is a file. If we replace it with the master from كتب يكتب كتابة, we will say ينبغي كتابة العنوان بوضوح. كتابة here is the file مرفوع والضمة. So the master مؤول أن تكتب, we don't say it is مرفوع, we say it is في محل رف. في محل رف. But the master itself كتابة as the file is مرفوع والضمة. Okay, so these are three examples showing that the master مؤول can be in a position of being, يعني a position of رف, يعني a position where it should be مرفوع as a مبتدا or as a خبر or as a file. Next they give us an example of it being in a position where it should be منصوب, يعني as a مفعول به. So it says in the place of نصب, يعني where the master مؤول is in the place of نصب, يعني في محل نصب, where it should be منصوب. أريد أن أخرج. أريد أن أخرج. I want to go out. يعني أن أخرج to go out. أريد أن أخرج. I want to go out. Here, أن أخرج is مفعول به. It's the مفعول به of أريد. What do I want? أن أخرج to go out. So if we translate أن أخرج the master مؤول into a actual master, the master from خرج يخرج is خروج. So أريد الخروج. أريد الخروج. Here we can see clearly that الخروج is the, يعني أريد is the فعل and the فاعل, and الخروج is the مفعول به منصوب with فتح. مفعول به منصوب with فتح. As far as the master مؤول, it's a clause, so we don't say it is, يعني منصوب. We say it's مفعول به في محل نصب, in the place where it should be منصوب. The next two examples they give us is in the place of جر. يعني where the master مؤول is in the position of جر, يعني in the position where should be مجرور. Okay, the first example they gave us, تعال قبل أن تخرج. قبل أن تخرج. Come before you leave. تعال, come, قبل, before, أن تخرج, before you leave. Here it is مضاف إليه. يعني أن تخرج is the mudaf ilayhi for qabla. Because remember, qabla is a dharf, and the word that comes after a dharf, qabla wa ba'da wa fawqa wa tahta, the word that comes after it is always going to be mudaf ilayhi majroor. But here it's a clause, so we don't say it's mudaf ilayhi majroor, we say it's mudaf ilayhi fi mahalli jar. That's why they said in the place of jar, because it's a clause. Ta'ala qabla an takhruja. Come before you leave, and takhruja. So what is the masdar here that replaces and takhruja from kharaja yakhruju? Al-khuruj. Here it is, maf'ulun bi, and therefore we say ta'ala qabla al-khuruji mudhafun ilayhi majrur. Here we see the masdar clearly indicating its sign of jar, yani that it's majrur by kasra. تعالى قبل الخروج. Come before going out, before you go out. قبل أن تخرج. Final example for جر. لا تذهب. يعني this is لا ناهية. So it makes the مضارع verb مجزوم. لا تذهب. إلى يعني حتى إلى أن أرجع. Until I return. Don't go out until I return. لا تذهب, do not go out. إلى أن أرجع, يعني إلى أن means حتى. حتى حتى أرجع. Until I return. إلى أن means حتى. لا تذهب إلى أن أرجع. Until I return. Here it is preceded by a preposition. يعني the master مؤول أن أرجع is preceded by the preposition. It's the object of the preposition. Object of a preposition we say is majroor. Here we say it's fi mahalli jar, in the place where it should be majroor. But if we replace it, yani from raja'a yarja'u with a masdar rujoo'i, yani masdar rujoo', yani returning, then we will see yani that it is mudhaf, yani that masdar will be mudhaf ilayhi majroor. لا تذهب إلى أن أرجع becomes لا تذهب إلى رجوعي until my return. Don't go until my return, until I return. Okay, so these are examples of the masdar مؤول when it's in the position of being مرفون as a مبتدا or خبر or فاعل, and when it's in the position of being منسوب as a maf'ulun bi, or when it's in the position of being majroor as mudaf ilayhi, yani the object, the mudaf of a dharf, or as the object of a preposition. So these are examples of the masdar mu'awwal. Inshallah, we're going to see in the text, when we read the Arabic text, more examples of this, and we'll try to yani continue to explain yani how it is used and its meanings. And then, of course, there are exercises as well. Plenty of exercises. Okay, the third thing that a jumla ismiya may begin with, okay, is relatively simple, like the first one. The first one, what? Is that the jumla ismiya may begin with a noun or a pronoun. May begin with a noun or a pronoun. The second one is the masdar mu'awwal, which we just got finished discussing. We're going to discuss it further later. The third thing is a jumla ismiya may begin with a particle resembling a verb. For example, إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah is forgiving, merciful. So, إِنَّ is a particle. The particles resembling the verb, in Arabic known as الحروف المشبهة بالفعل. الحروف المشبهة بالفعل. يعني the letters, the particles that are مشبهة, resembling الفعل, بالفعل, resembling the فعل. These particles resembling the فعل are إن and its sisters. إن وأخواتها. يعني إن وأن وكأن وليت ولعل ولكن. إن وأخواتها. That we had in the beginning of book 2. In lesson 1 and maybe in lesson 2 or 3 and 4. يعني in the early lessons of book 2. إن وأخواتها. What we said about إن وأخواتها, just to summarize, is that it's used with a jumla ismiya, mubtada and khabar, but when inna enters upon the sentence, the mubtada becomes ismu inna, and the khabar becomes khabaru inna. Ism inna is mansub, and khabaru inna is marfu'un. So here we will see that inna wa akhwatuha, how do they resemble the fi'l? Because they make the ism of inna, or in, or ism of anna or ka'anna, they make it mansub. The way a verb makes its maf'ulun be mansub. So these are particles that resemble the verb. They're called al-huruf al-mushabbaha bil-fi'l. They are inna wa akhawatuha that we studied in book 2. Okay, so a jumla may begin with one of three things, a noun or a pronoun. It may begin with a masdar mu'awwal, which we're going to talk about a little bit more in the Arabic explanation. And they may, or they may begin with a particle resembling a verb. That is, they may begin with inna or any of its akhawat. Okay, that's the end of the jumla ismiyah. And of course, the second way that a jumla ismiyah begins is the one that we have to really focus on, hopefully. Yani during the previous week, you had a chance to look at them, look at it, and you try to understand it well. And now, inshallah, hopefully it become more clear as we read through the Arabic text of the lesson and as we read through the exercises. The second part of this lesson, yani also part of point number one, yani meaning the types of sentences, the two types of sentences, jumla ismiyah and jumla fi'liyah. So the second part of that point is the jumla fi'liyah, the verbal sentence. The verbal sentence, we said, the beginning of the verbal sentence is one of the following, one of two things. The verbal sentence either begins with a complete verb, or b, an incomplete verb. A complete verb, that is al-fi'lu at-tammu, or an incomplete verb, al-fi'lu an-naqisu. Please don't become confused, fi'l naqis, with the yani mu'tal verbs. Yani the mithal verb, the ajwaf verb, and the naqis verb. That's in reference to mu'tal. This expression here is being used in a different way. Okay, so this al-fi'l al-naqis here, what is meant by it, is an incomplete verb, and we're going to tell you exactly what that means right now. Okay, so what is the complete verb? Al-fi'l at-tam. And what is the incomplete verb? Al-fi'l al-naqis. As far as the complete verb, al-fi'l at-tam, it is, for example, like the sentence, طَلَعَتْ الشَّمْسُ, the sun rose. The sun rose. Yani it's a fi'l followed by a fa'il. A complete verb. It says here, right here, after this example, the sun rose. A complete verb is one that needs a fa'il. Like جَلَسَ, نَامَ, خَرَجَ, دَخَلَ, etc. Yani it needs a fa'il. The fi'l needs a fa'il. طَلَعَتْ الشَّمْسُ, خَرَجَ الرَّجُلُ, جَلَسَ الْوَلَدُ. Yani a fi'l that requires a noun, which is its fa'il. Which is its fa'il, marfu'un with dhamma. It's sufficient. This fi'il, it suffices with just having its fa'il to complete its meaning. طَلَعَتْ is incomplete without who did the tala'at? Yani al-shamsu. So the fi'l, the complete verb, al-fi'l al-tam, is a verb that suffices with just a fa'il, the one doing its action. Its meaning is completed with that. Okay? دَخَلَ الرَّجُلُ, خَرَجَ الْوَلَدُ, نَامَ الْإِمَامُ, جَلَسَ يعني التَّاجِرُ. Fi'l and its fa'il, that's a complete verb. As opposed to B, an incomplete verb, al-fi'l al-naqisu, for example, kana al-jawu baridan mansub. The weather was cold. Okay, the incomplete sentence, the incomplete verb, is going to be kana wa akhawatuha. And there are some other verbs also, kada wa akhawatuha, that come under this category of al-fi'l al-naqis. But what we're going to concentrate on here is going to be kana wa akhawatuha. The same rule will be applicable to kada wa akhawatuha, yani something almost happened, okay, and some other verbs. But right now we just want to concentrate on kana, because we had kana in book 2, right? We had introduced to it in lesson 7, and then we had its details in lesson, I think, 25. Lesson 25. Let me just make sure. Details of kana. Naam is in lesson 25. So we had kana in book 2, lesson 25. So we're going to concentrate on that. The fi'l naqis, an example of it is kana al-jawu baridan. The weather was cold. What is intended here, if you turn to page 41, an incomplete verb is one that needs a ism and a khabar. It needs a ism and a khabar. So you have here, kana al-jawu baridan. Al-jawu is the ism kana, and baridan is the khabaru kana. So what's happening here, and here they're going to show us another example. An incomplete verb is one that needs an ism and a khabar. For example, sara al-ma'u thaljan. The water became ice. The water became ice. So the point here is what? That kana wa akhawatuha, this type of verb is used with a jumla ismiya, a mubtada and a khabar. When you use kana, as we learned in 25 and introduced in lesson 7, when we use kana on that jumla ismiya, mubtada and khabar, the mubtada now becomes known as ismu kana, or ismu sara, or whatever from the akhawatu inna. And the khabar of the original jumla ismiya now becomes khabaru kana. The ismu kana is marfu'un, but the khabar of kana is mansub. That's why you have kana al-jawu baridan. The khabar of kana is mansub. So the original sentence, al-jawu baridun, mubtada and khabar are both marfu'un. But when you use kana, then the mubtada becomes ismu kana, which is marfu'un, remains marfu'un, but the khabar of kana becomes mansub. And that's how you see in the second example, sara al-ma'u thaljan. The original jumla ismiya here, before sara came, was al-ma'u thaljun. The water is ice. Mubtada, yani al-ma'u is a mubtada marfu'un with dhamma, and thaljun is the khabar marfu'un with dhamma. But once you introduce sara, or kana, or any of its akhwat, then the mubtada becomes ismu sara marfu'un with dhamma, and the khabar becomes khabaru sara mansub with fatha. Sara al-ma'u thaljan, mansub with fatha. Kana al-jawu baridan, mansub with fatha. Okay, so now what do we want to say here? We're going to stop right here and say, okay, so what is the difference between the jumla, the fi'l tam, and the fi'l naqis? The fi'l tam only requires a fa'il, a fa'il, the doer of its action to complete its meaning. The fi'l naqis, incomplete verb, it's incomplete because it's not sufficient just to have, yani, a noun that comes after it, like the complete verb. It just has a noun that's marfu'un after it, the fa'il. Here, it's not sufficient just to have that one noun. Rather, it requires a ism that we're talking about, and it requires a khabar, what we want to say about it. So the jumla ismiya is the mubtada and khabar. Mubtada is what you want to talk about, the weather, and baridun is what you want to say about it, it's cold. Or the mubtada is what you want to talk about, al-ma'u, and thaljun is what you want to say about it, it's ice. Alright? So you have to have a mubtada and a khabar. When you introduce kana wa akhawatuha, it becomes known as ismu kana and khabaru kana. The ismu kana is what you want to talk about, the subject that you want to talk about, and the khabaru kana is what you want to say about it. That khabar of kana is going to be mansub here. Alright, so that's the main thing we want to keep in our mind, that the difference between al-fi'l al-tam and al-fi'l al-naqis, fi'l al-tam only requires a marfu'un word, a fa'il, to complete its meaning, whereas the fi'l al-naqis requires one word that you're going to be talking about, it, which is its ism, marfu'un, and it also requires another word that's going to be mansub to complete its meaning. Because if you just said kana al-jaw, the weather was, sentence is not complete. So it needs another word now. Whereas with the fi'l tam, you say kharaja ar-rajulu, khalas, kharaja ar-rajulu, the meaning is complete, the man went out. Nama al-imamu, yani the meaning is complete just with that one, yani word that's marfu'un, the fa'il. The imam slept. But with the fi'l naqis, it's not completed unless you have another word which is going to be mansub, the khabar of kana. That's what completes the meaning. So it requires two words, ism kana and khabaru kana, which is going to be mansub. Alright, so I hope that this is clear. Yani the difference between the complete verb is it only requires a fa'il, The incomplete verb requires a ism and a khabar. It requires a word that what you want to talk about and what you want to say about it, which is the original sentence that you began with, the jumla ismiya, mubtada and khabar. What you want to talk about and what you want to say about it. Alright? So that is the first part, the first point of this lesson. Yani, number one, that the jumla ismiya may begin with three different things. It may begin with a noun or a pronoun, may begin with a masdar mu'awwal, may begin with a particle resembling a verb. The second part of point one is the verbal sentence. May begin with a complete verb that only requires a fa'il, marfu'un with dhamma. The incomplete verb requires more than that. It requires the subject that you want to talk about, ismu kana, and it also requires to tell us what do you want to say about it, the khabaru kana. So its meaning is not complete without that second word, which is going to be mansub, the khabaru kana. Okay, that's the first point of this lesson. Now we're going to go to the second point of this lesson on page 41. It says, number two, Tafiqa Bilalun yaktubu. Bilal began to write. Bilal began to write. Tafiqa means to begin. Bilalun is the one who began, and yaktubu is what he began to do. So you will note immediately here that unlike kana, its ism, yani is marfoon and its khabar is mansub. Unlike kana, tafiqa, its ism is marfoon but its khabar is a verb. And that verb is going to be a mudari verb. Okay? The khabar of tafiqa is going to be a mudari verb. It's going to be a jumla fi'liya, a sentence that's composed of a verb, and that verb is going to be a mudari verb. Okay, so there's a similarity between tafiqa and kana wa aqwatuha, that is that they originally begin with a jumla ismiya, a mubtada and a khabar, but the khabar of that jumla ismiya that tafiqa is going to be used with, that khabar is a jumla ismiya itself. I mean a jumla fi'liya. It's a verb, a mudari verb. And yani, we're going to study this in detail in the next lesson. Yani, in lesson 11, we're going to be looking at the jumla ismiya and how the different rules related to the mubtada and different rules related to the khabar. And we'll see there that the khabar of a jumla ismiya can be a mufrad, a single noun, like al-imam kabirun. The imam is big or great or old, right? Can be a single word, or it can be a jumla, either a jumla fi'liya or jumla ismiya, or it can be a shibh jumla, yani a preposition and its object, or a dharf and its mudaf ilayhi. So the khabar of a jumla ismiya can be a single word, or it can be a sentence, or it can be a phrase or a clause. Okay, the khabar is five different types. Two types of jumla, jumla ismiya, jumla fi'liya, and two types of shibh jumla, a preposition or a dharf. So that being said, the difference between kana wa akhwatuha being used with the jumla ismiya and tafiqa and other verbs that are similar being used with the jumla ismiya is that the jumla ismiya with tafiqa, its khabar is going to be a verb that is mudari. It's going to be a mudari verb. It's going to be a jumla fi'liya. And its fi'l is going to be a mudari verb. Okay, so let's look at some of the examples, and then let's try to understand this a little bit more clearly. Again, point number two, page 41, Tafiqa Bilalun yaktubu. Bilal began to write. Yani, the original sentence before Tafiqa is Bilalun yaktubu. Bilal is writing. Bilal is the mubtada marfu'un with dhamma, and yaktubu is a jumla fi'liya. And its fi'l is a mudari verb, yaktubu. Yani yaktubu means he is writing. That's a sentence, a jumla fi'liya. And the fi'l is a mudari verb, he is writing. But now, when we use tafiqa with this sentence, bilalun yaktubu, bilal is writing, that's a jumla ismiya, bilal is writing. Because it begins with a noun, so it's a jumla ismiya, even if the khabar is a verb. When we use tafiqa, Bilal becomes the ism of tafiqa, and yaktubu, the mudari verb, becomes the khabar of tafiqa. So the difference between kana wa akhawatuha and tafiqa and the word verbs that are similar to it is that the khabar with yani tafiqa is gonna be a mudari verb. So Bilal began doing an action that will be represented by a verb. Began writing, reading, studying, memorizing. Yani the khabar of tafiqa is going to be a mudari verb. Tafiqa is an incomplete verb. Okay, so this is the relationship between tafiqa and the first point. Is that tafiqa, like kana wa akhawatuha, tafiqa is also an incomplete verb. Meaning that it requires an ism and a khabar. It's not just going to have a fa'il. You can't say tafiqa bilalun. Yani Bilal began. Bilal began what? And he began writing, reading, memorizing. Okay, so tafiqa is an incomplete verb. It requires an ism that you want to talk about, in this case Bilal, and it requires a khabar, what you want to say about Bilal, that he is writing. In this sentence, Bilal is its ism. Tafiqa Bilalun. And the sentence yaktubu is its khabar. He is writing. The verb in the khabar should be mudari. The verb in the khabar must be a mudari verb. The verbs akhadha and ja'ala are also used in the same way and with the same meaning. Yani just like you said tafiqa bilal yaktub, you could say akhadha bilalun yaktubu or ja'ala bilalun yaktubu. Has the same use and the same meaning. Now also note that akhadha and ja'ala, they have other meanings as well. But when they are used in this format, it has the meaning of tafiqa. Yani, all of them have the same meaning. That is, yani shara'a, to begin doing something. Okay, here's some more examples. For the other verbs that have the same meaning as tafiqa, akhadha al-mudarrisu yashrahu ad-darsa. The teacher began to explain the lesson. Akhadha is the fi'l, al-mudarrisu is ismu akhadha, marfu'un with dhamma, and yashrahu is the khabar of akhadha. Yani it's a jumla, fi'liya, whose fi'l is a mudari verb. And al-darsa is the mafu'un bi of that fi'l, mansub with fatha. The teacher began to explain the lesson. Here, remember, the khabar of this type of verb, tafiqa or akhadha, it's going to be a mudari verb. Going to be a mudari verb telling you something about what he's doing. He began what? He began doing something. He began explaining. He began reading. He began writing. What did he begin doing? Some action that's going to be represented by a mudari verb. Another example. Ja'altu akulu. I began to eat. Here, the pronoun tu in ja'altu is the fa'il of the verb. This fa'il is the ism of ja'ala. The fa'il of the verb, just like akhadha al-mudarrisu, yani is the fa'il, the doer of the action, but here it's called the ism of akhadha. Akhadha al-mudarrisu, al-mudarrisu is the ism akhadha. It's the one doing the action of beginning. And likewise here, the tu in ja'altu is the one doing the action of beginning. I began to do what? The mudari verb, akulu. I began to eat. Here, the pronoun tu is the ism of ja'ala, and the sentence, yani, the jumla fi'liya, whose fi'l is a mudari verb, akulu, this mudari verb, akulu, is its khabar. So, tafiqa is an incomplete verb. It requires a noun that follows it, which is the thing that you want to talk about, and it requires a verb, a mudari verb, which tells you what that one is doing. The examples in the text, inshallah, will help us to clarify this a little bit more, inshallah. Okay, so let's go directly now to the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson. On page 84. Let me just say here, though, that in the exercises for this lesson, we're going to have two exercises. Inshallah, we're going to do them as we read through the text, okay? Just for the sake of time. Exercise number two, which is on page 86, says, استخرج ما في الدرس من الجمل الفعلية وأين نوع الصدر في كل واحدة منها. يعني استخرج, extract, what is in the lesson, ما في الدرس من الجملة الفعلية. Extract from what is in the lesson of the جملة, verbal sentences. Okay, extract what is in the lesson of verbal sentences. I think I'm skipping something. Okay, yeah, there's an exercise before that. Okay, no problem. But that's on page 86, number 2. It says extract from the lesson the جملة فعلية, all of the verbal sentences, and identify now a sadr, the type of what it begins with in each one of them. Yani, what type of sentence is this? It begins with which type of verb? A complete verb or an incomplete verb? So that's exercise number 2. Before that, there's exercise number 1 on the bottom of page 84. And actually, these 1 and 2 are part of exercise number 2. Yani, the lesson is drawn up a little bit tricky here. Yani, there's exercise number 1 on page 84, which is comprehension questions. And then on page 85, there's exercise number 2, which is the Arabic explanation of the Jumla Ismiya and Jumla Fi'liya. And on the bottom of the page, it says number 1. That number 1 is part of exercise number 2. It's the first question for exercise number 2. And then on the top of 86 is the second question of exercise number 2. And then there's 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. In the English key, they are numbered as 2A, B, C, D, E, F, and G in the instructions in the English key. And then there it says number 3 near the bottom of page 86. That's the third exercise. And then there's number 4 with Tafika. And then there's number 4, which is the fourth exercise. So there's actually 4 exercises. But the second one, beginning on the top of 85, has 7 questions related to it. The first question is on the bottom of 85. And then the next questions up to 7 on page 86, followed by question exercise number 3 and exercise number 4. So it's a little bit confusing, but in any case, the two questions that I want to go over now with the reading of the text are, yani, exercise number 2 on page 85, its first question on the bottom of the page is extract, استخرج ما في الدرس من الجملة الإسمية وأين نوع الصدر في كل واحد منهما. Yani, extract from the lesson whatever it contains of nominal sentences and identify the type of beginning for each one of them. Yani, does it begin with a noun or a pronoun? Does it begin with a master or mu'awwil? Does it begin with a particle that resembles a verb? One of those three types. Identify which type that jumla ismiya begins with. And then the question that follows it on the top of page 86 is extract from the lesson the verbal sentences and identify its beginning. Yani, does it begin with a complete verb or an incomplete verb? We're going to do that as we read through the lesson right now for the sake of time. Okay, and then when we finish the lesson, we'll go to exercise number 1, which are comprehension questions, and then we'll go to number 2, which is the reading of the explanation of the jumla, the types of jumla ismiya and the jumla fi'liya, yani their beginnings. And then we'll look at the exercises related to exercise number 2. The first and second of those questions for exercise number 2 we're going to do now as we read the dialogue. Okay, so let's read on page 84 the dialogue. Okay, I wasn't looking at the screen. So is this complete? That was a long time ago. Verb, like the lazim verb. When we mentioned the transitive and intransitive verb. Okay, actually I was getting confused. The lazim verb is talking about the maf'ulun bi, whether it's needed, maf'ulun bi or not. Yeah. Okay, so, I see the question. I'm a little quite late right now in answering the question, but, the fi'l lazim, as opposed to the fi'l muta'addi, fi'l lazim means that the action of the verb is limited to the fa'il. Okay? فعل متعدي means that the action of the verb is not limited to the one doing the action, but it extends to someone else. Okay, so that's one type of consideration, that there's a فعل that's لازم, its action is limited to it, and there's a فعل that's متعدي, its action extends to others. That's one consideration, one perspective, looking at it from one side. But what we're talking about here, we're talking about fi'l naqis. Yani fi'l tam and fi'l naqis means the fi'l that yani has a fa'il. It may also have a maf'ulun bi, but it only requires a fa'il, and maybe sometimes that fa'il, if it's muta'addi, it will have a maf'ulun bi, direct object or indirect object. Okay? But we want to distinguish that from the fi'il lazim, because fi'il lazim means that type of verb always only has a fa'il, it doesn't have a maf'ulun bi. But here we're saying the fi'il tam, it could be lazim, it could be muta'addi. But its distinction from the fi'l naqis is that the fi'l naqis requires a subject, and it also requires information about that subject. Not necessarily maf'ulun bi, but information about the subject. Okay, so when you say the weather is cold, so yani kana al-jaw baridan, we have a subject that we're talking about, and we have information about it, not a maf'ulun bi. So muta'addi means that it has a maf'ulun bi. That's a different perspective altogether. I hope that it is clear. Yani, please do not yani confuse the discussion related to verbs whose action is limited to the fa'il, subject do of the action, and verbs whose action extends to others. So those verbs yani can be tam. Both of them can be tam. The fi'l lazim and the fu'l and the fi'l muta'addi, both of them can be tam, meaning they don't have a subject that we're going to talk about, but they may have a subject due of the action, and they may have a maf'ulun bi or may not have a maf'ulun bi. That's something different. Maf'ulun bi there, yani with the lazim and muta'addi, there's a maf'ulun bi or not. Here we're talking about there being information about the ism of kana. Information, not a maf'ulun bi. So this is really a different perspective altogether. Let's read the wafikum barakallah. Let's read the Arabic text, and we're going to identify the sentences that begin with a yani. If it's a jumla ismiya, we want to know, does it begin with a noun or pronoun, or does it begin with a yani harf mushabbah bil huruf, or does it begin with a master mu'awwal? If it's a jumla ismiya, we want to know which type yani of beginning does it have. If it's a jumla fi'liya, we want to know, does it begin with a fi'l tam or fi'l naqis? So we're going to read, we're going to translate, and we're going to also identify the different types of sentences and what they begin with. Page 84. Ad-darsu al-ashiru ranna al-jarasu wa bada'atil hissatu al-khamisatu marrat asharu daqa'iqa aw aktharu wa lam ya'ti al-mudarrisu سائم الطلاب الانتظار وطفقوا يتحركون من أماكنهم ويعبثون فبعدهم وقف يخطب وبعدهم جعل يكتب على السبورة. And then the muraqib came. Okay, this is the first paragraph. There are only three paragraphs. We're going to take one paragraph at a time. The first paragraph, رن الجرس, the bell rang. وبدأت الحصة الخامسة, and the fifth period began. مرت عشر دقائق أو أكثر, 10 minutes or more went by. ولم يأتي المدرس, and the teacher didn't come. سائم الطلاب الانتظار, the students became tired or weird or boring with this waiting, 10 minutes or more. وطفقوا يتحركون من أماكنهم يعبثون. So they began, tafiqu, they began moving around from their places and yani playing and joking. فبعضهم وقف يخطب, some of them stood up and start like giving a speech. وبعضهم جعل يكتب على السبورة, and some of them جعل began writing on the board. Okay, so the first sentence, رنّ, this is a jumla fi'liya, and the fi'l here is a fi'l tam. It suffices with the fa'al jarasu. Bada'at al-hissatu al-khamisatu. Bada'at yani is also a fi'l. This is the jumla fi'liya, and the fi'l is a fi'l tam, complete verb. Marrat asharatu daqa'iq aw akthar, يعني this is a جملة فعلية begins with a فعل تام. ولم يأتي المدرس, this is a جملة فعلية فعل تام. سعم الطلاب الانتظار, this is a جملة فعلية. سعم begins with a verb, سعم الطلاب, and it is a فعل تام because it suffices with يعني الفاعل الطلاب. And it, even though it does have a mafulun bi, but it doesn't, that mafulun bi is not information about the talib. وَتَفِقُوا يَتَحَرَّكُونَ مِنْ أَمَاكِنِهِمْ وَيَعْبَثُونَ. They began moving around from their places and playing and joking. Here, تَفِقُوا is a, this is a fi'l, a jumla fi'liya. But this fi'l tafiqu is a fi'l naqis. We said that tafiqu and ja'ala and akhadha, yani with this same meaning of beginning to do something, they're all fi'l naqisa, yani afa'al naqisa. So in that case, tafiqu, yani the ism of tafiqu is waw, the waw here in tafiqu, which represents waw al-jama'a, yani represents hum. Hum tafiqu. يَتَحَرَّكُونَ, yani the waw here, the pronoun waw in tafiqu is the ism of tafiq, and يَتَحَرَّكُونَ is the khabar, the ism, yani this incomplete verb requires an ism and a khabar, and the khabar should be a yani fi'l mudari. يَتَحَرَّكُونَ is the khabar. فَبَعَدُهُمْ وَقَفَ يَقْتُبُ. فَبَعَدُهُمْ, this is a jumla ismiya, yani beginning with a noun. بعض, يعني it's not a particle, nor is it a, يعني مصدر مؤول. فبعضهم وقف يكتب, وبعضهم جعل يكتب على السبورة. And some of them began writing on the board. يعني this is originally a جملة اسمية بعضهم, and جعل يكتب is a sentence by itself. بعضهم جعل, يعني جعل is a جعل يكتب is a جملة فعلية. And this fi'l is a fi'l naqis, because it's like tafiqa, it means to begin, they began writing. And its ism is damir mustatir taqdiruhu huwa, referring back to ba'aduhum. And yaktubu is its khabar. Yaktubu is the khabar. We said that the khabar of the fi'l naqis should be a mudari verb. The next paragraph, دخل المراقب فجأة. The مراقب, the supervisor or manager, the one who takes care of the affairs of the students, يعني entered suddenly. Here دخل يعني is a فعل, so it's a جملة اسمية. It doesn't require a اسم and خبر, it just requires a فعل, so it's a complete يعني فعل تام. وقال ما هذا, يعني ما هذا is a جملة اسمية, begins with يعني ما, right, اسم استفهام. ما هذا, so this is a جملة اسمية of what type, يعني the type that begins with a noun or a pronoun, not the حرف مشبهة بالفعل, يعني the particles that resemble فعل, nor مصدر مؤول. أمركم فوضى, this is also a جملة اسمية. أمركم يعني جملة اسمية begins with a noun. What type of noun? A noun, يعني a noun or a pronoun. أمركم فوضى, your affair is chaos. يعني it's chaos in here. What is this? It's chaos in here. كأن الفصل سوق, it is as though the classroom is a marketplace. Here, this is a جملة اسمية beginning with إن وأخواتها. يعني كأن is from أخواتو إن. So this is one type of way that the jumla ismiya begins. Ka'anna al-fasla as-suk. It is as though the classroom is a marketplace. Isma'u. Yani this isma'u, this is a fi'l amr, this is a sentence. Okay, it's a sentence, it's a jumla fi'liya. Yani, and it is a fi'l tam. Inna mudarrisakum maridun falam yahdur al-yawma. Indeed, your teacher is sick, so he didn't attend today. He didn't come. فَلَمْ يَحْضُرْ لَمْ يَحْضُرِ الْيَوْمَ. Here, the جملة اسمية إِنَّ مُدَرِّسَكُمْ, يعني it begins with a حرف مشبه بالفعل يعني إن وأخواتها. فلم يحضر يعني this is a جملة فعلية يعني begins with a فعل يحضر يعني that's negated by لم but it's a جملة يعني فعلية and its فعل is a فعل تام يعني the it only requires a فعل that فعل is ضمير مستتر تقديره هو يعني يحضر means لم يحضر يعني فلم يحضر means هو هو لم يحضر. فيمكنكم يعني الذهاب إلى المكتبة أو الانصراف إلى المهاجع وأن تذهبوا إلى المكتبة خير لكم and that you go to the library is better for you. Okay, so the meaning here فيمكنكم الذهاب إلى المكتبة it is possible that you all may go to the library أو الانصراف إلى المهاجع or you may go back to the dormitories but أن تذهبوا إلى المكتبة that you go to the library خير لكم is better for you. So فيمكنكم this is a جملة فعلية this is a جملة فعلية begins with the فعل أمكن يمكن it is possible therefore it is possible for you all الذهاب to go يعني going يعني meaning أن تذهبوا the master معاول from الذهاب will be أن تذهبوا it is possible يعني يمكنكم أن تذهبوا ويمكنكم الذهاب إلى المكتبة it is possible for you all to go to the library أو الانصراف or it is possible for you all to go يعني to leave to go to the dormitories but أن تذهبوا that you go or ذهابكم would be the مصدر يعني أن تذهبوا is مصدر مؤول أن تذهبوا إلى المكتبة خير لكم يعني that you go to the library is better for you. Okay, so let's look at this a little bit. فيمكنكم is a جملة فعلية. And this is a complete يعني فعل تام. يمكنكم. From أمكن يمكن. يمكنكم الذهاب. Because it only needs the فاعل. الذهاب. Which if it was a مصدر مؤول would be أن تذهبوا إلى المكتبة. أو الانصراف يعني يمكنكم الانصراف. Or it is possible for you all to leave. To go back to المحاجع أن تذهبوا this is a جملة اسمية because it begins with a مصدر مؤول and this is one of the ways that the جملة اسمية begins يعني it begins with a noun or a pronoun or begins with a مصدر مؤول or begins with a particle that resembles يعني a فعل like إن وأخواتها أن تذهبوا يعني the meaning of it if we transform it into a مصدر أن تذهبوا that you go to the library is better for you would be ذهابكم إلى المكتبة خير لكم your going you all's going to the library is better for you. The next paragraph خرجنا من مبنى المعهد يعني we went out from the building of the institute يعني the Arabic language institute. Here this is a جملة يعني فعلية because it begins with the verb خرجنا And this is a فعل تام. يعني its فعل is sufficient. خرجنا. يعني meaning the pronoun نا corresponding to نحن is the فعل of يعني the verb here. خرجنا يعني نحن. نحن خرجنا من مبنى المعهد. We went out from the institute. كانت الساعة الثانية عشرة والنصف. The hour was يعني الثانية عشرة يعني 12 o'clock ونصف and a half يعني 12:30 كانت يعني we said that كان is a يعني فعل ناقص فعل ناقص يعني it has يعني a اسم and a خبر that is originally a جملة اسمية يعني without كانت we could say الساعة الثانية عشرة والنصف the hour is 12 o'clock and a half يعني the hour is 12:30 after كانت Then الساعة becomes اسم كانت مرفوع with ضمة and نعم the خبر يعني here I'm sorry the اسم كانت is الساعة كانت الساعة الثانية عشرة is the خبر الثانية عشرة is the خبر يعني it's مبني على فتحة but it is the خبر يعني مبني يعني في محل رف which should be marfu'un as the khabar. So kanat is a jumla fi'liya, but what type of verb does this sentence begin with? A fi'l naqis. Kanat as-sa'atu, the hour was, athaniyata ashra wa nisfa, yani 12 o'clock and a half. Ra'a ba'du zumala'i an-na'uda mudarrisana al-marida. Some of my classmates had the opinion or the view that we should visit our teacher, our sick teacher. Here, ra'a is a verb, so this is a jumla, yani fi'liya. In this verb, ra'a, yani, is a complete, yani, it's a complete verb. Ba'adu zumala'i, oh, I'm sorry. And na'uda, yani al-awda. Okay, so ra'a actually is an incomplete verb, yani meaning it requires an ism that we're talking about, and it also requires a khabar, what we want to say about it. So the ism of ra'a is ba'adu, ba'adu zumala'i. Yani that's who we're talking about. Some of my companions hold the opinion or saw an na'uda, yani al-iyadati mudarrisina al-marid, that we visit our sick teacher. So again, here, this is a fi'l, yani it's a jumla fi'liya, but it is beginning with a fi'l naqis, yani that requires a ism, what we're talking about, yani some of my classmates, and what about them? Yani they held the opinion an na'uda mudarrisina, that we visit our teacher who is sick. Yani فَقُلْتُ لَهُمْ, so I said to them, يعني قلت لهم, يعني this is a fi'l, it's a jumla fi'liya, and it's a fi'l tam. لَيْسَ الْوَقْتُ مُنَاسِبًا لِلْعِيَادَةِ, the time is not suitable or appropriate for visiting. لَيْسَ الْوَقْتُ, the time is not مُنَاسِبًا, appropriate or suitable, لِلْعِيَادَةِ, and لَيْسَ is from أَخَوَاتُ كَانَ, so it's a fi'l, يعني jumla fi'liya, it begins with a fi'l that is naqis, and it requires an ism and a khabar. The ism is al-waqtu marfu'un with dhamma, and the khabar is munasiban. Is munasiban, yani the khabar of laysa mansub lil-iyadati jawul majroor. Yani iyada means visiting a sick person, as opposed to ziyara, which just means visiting. سَنَعُودُهُ بَعْدَ صَلَاةِ الْعَصْرِ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ, yani he said it's not the time, right now is not appropriate for visiting. سَنَعُودُهُ, we will visit him بَعْدَ صَلَاةِ الْعَصْرِ, after صَلَاةِ الْعَصْرِ, إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ, after the Asr prayer, إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ. قَالُوا الرَّأْيُ رَأْيُكَ, they said the correct view is your view. So سَنَعُودُ is a jumla fi'liya. It is a fi'l tam. The fa'il is yani na'udu, yani the fa'il is dhamir mustatir taqdiruhu nahnu, and who is the maf'ulun bi, yani it's a pronoun, so it's mabniun fi mahalli nasb. Qalu ar-ra'yu ra'yukum, yani ar-ra'yu ra'yukum, this is a jumla ismiya, it's a jumla ismiya. Of what type? Yani begins with a noun, a clear noun. Ar-ra'yu, ra'yuka. Ar-ra'yu is the mubtada, marfu'un with dhamma. And ra'yu, yani is the khabar, marfu'un with dhamma. And kaz mudawfan ilayhi, yani pronoun, mabniun fi mahalli jar. Okay, this is quite involved. Okay, I see another question here. Ya'bathuna. A lot of questions here. Allahu musta'an. Is ya'bathuna the ism wa khabaru thani of tafiqa? Where is that at? In the... Oh, okay. Marat ashara daqaiq aw akthar wa lam ya'ti al-mudarris sa'imat tullab al-intidar wa tafiqu yataharrakuna min amakin wa yab'athuna. Yani tafiqa يتحركون تفقوا وتفقوا يتحركون يعني تفهو is a فعل ناقص is اسم is the wow the pronoun wow wow الجماعة its خبر is the مضارع verb يتحركون من أماكنهم ويبعثون actually يبعثون is يعني معتوف تفهو يتحركون ويبعثون they began يتحركون and they also began يعبثون يعني playing and joking so the meaning here is تفقوا يتحركون ويبعثون means وتفقوا يعبثون تفقوا يتحركون وتفقوا يعبثون نعم so here in this particular sentence we say that يتحركون is يعني the خبر of تفقوا which should be a فعل مضارع and يعبثون is معتوف on this sentence so the meaning is وَتَفِقُوا يعني وَتَفِقُوا يَعْبَثُونَ so in this case يعني تَفِقُوا again the ism of تَفِقُوا is wow is the wow the mere wow and يَعْبَثُونَ is the خبر yes and يَعْبَثُونَ is the خبر of تَفِقَ نعم that's correct the sentence read فَلَمْ يَحْدُرْ but you didn't mention anything about the fa يعني the fa here is a particle so it doesn't any it's not from the particles that a sentence begins with it's just a conjunction fa is just a conjunction connecting what was before to what's after it it's just a conjunction connecting what was before to what's after فَلَمْ يَحْدُرْ الْيَوْمَ يعني meaning the meaning of this sentence fa is connecting لَمْ يَحْدُرْ to إن مدرسكم مريض إن مدرسكم مريض he your teacher indeed your teacher is sick fa therefore it's just a conjunction so fa means here as a result of him being sick he didn't come today it's a conjunction so the conjunction fa or wow or ثم يعني they, we don't say that they begin the sentence they're just يعني words that connect something before to something after so actually يعني فا is connecting the sentence إن مدرسكم فا is connecting that to a new sentence لم يحضر the sentence read فلم يحضر but you didn't mention anything about the فا we just said the sentence is فعليه because لم is negating the verb يحضر why didn't we consider the فا and what is the فا considered a particle yes it's considered a particle it's considered a particle and that particle is like wow يعني the sentence doesn't begin with it it just connects one sentence to another sentence or one noun to another noun alright so yes this is a jumla fi'liya is inshallah a jumla fi'liya where's inshallah oh inshallah in the end of the sentence na'udhu بعد صلاة العصر inshallah نعم it's a jumla فعلية يعني because the actual beginning of the sentence is the verb شاء يعني إن is not a noun or a pronoun and it's not from the particles that resemble a verb so the جملة اسمية either begins with a noun or a pronoun it's neither of them is there or it begins with a مصدر مؤول this is not a مصدر مؤول or it begins with a particle that resembles a verb and it's not any of them so this is not a جملة اسمية correct this is a جملة فعلية نعم okay I don't know the time probably looks like we're at the end now because the time of the adhan for me we actually could go a little further okay so let me see 4:42 yeah we still have a few minutes okay no problem طيب okay so anyway at least we were able to finish the English key and we finished the reading and in this reading, we have identified the sentences that are jumla ismiya and the sentences that are jumla fi'liya. Fahimtu, jazakum Allah khair wa iyaakum. Tayyib. And we also identified in this reading those sentences that are jumla ismiya, what they begin with. Do they begin with a noun or a pronoun? Or do they begin with, yani, a harf that resembles a verb? Or do they begin with a masdar mu'awwal? And then we identified those verbs. Those are sentences that are jumla fi'liya, and do they begin with a complete verb or a naqis verb? Okay, so perhaps we may come back and look at them again when we come to those exercises. Since we're not going to finish this lesson today, then maybe next week, inshallah, we'll take a second look at this dialogue as we come to the exercises for exercise number 2-1, which is 2A, and 2-2, which is 2B. Any that come after the reading or the explanation of the the Jumla Ismi and Jumla Fi'li. Okay, so let's look just now at the comprehension questions in the time that remains. Ajib, yani at the bottom of page 84, Tamarin, Ajib, an al-as'ilati al-atiyati, answer concerning the following questions. Lima lam yahdur al-mudarrisu? Lima lam yahdur al-mudarrisu? Yani, why didn't the teacher attend that day? Yani, لأنه كان مريضا, because he was sick. يعني لم يحضر المدرس لأنه كان مريضا, because he was sick. Number two, من الذي سمح للطلاب بالانصراف؟ يعني who was the one that gave permission or allowed the students الانصراف, to go, to leave? يعني الذي سمح للطلاب بالانصراف هو المراقب. يعني it was the مراقب. Number three. كم كانت الساعة عندما خرجوا من مبنى المعهد؟ What was the hour? What time was it? كم كانت الساعة؟ يعني what was the hour عندما خرجوا, at the time when they went out from the building of the institute. كانت الساعة الثانية عشرة والنصف. كانت الساعة الثانية عشرة والنصف. يعني the hour was 12 o'clock and a half. يعني 12:30. Okay, the next exercise is exercise number 2, and this is a very important exercise. We'll do the exercises that come after this. The exercise related to exercise number 2, this reading. The exercise that's related to, there are 7 exercises, 1 through 7, or A through G. 2A, 2B, 2C, D, E, F, and G. And then exercise number 3 and 4, we'll do them in the next session. Today, inshallah, we'll just read the Arabic explanation of the core of this lesson. Yani, on page 85, page 85, exercise number 2, it says, Al-Jumlatu imma ismiya wa imma فعلية. يعني the جملة, the sentence in Arabic language, is either اسمية nominal وإما فعلية or verbal. The sentence is either nominal or verbal. فالجملة الاسمية, so as far as the nominal sentence, هي التي صدرها, it is the one which its beginning, صدرها, its beginning, صدر الجملة الاسمية, يعني is one of three things. A, اسم صريح, يعني a clear noun, meaning a noun or a pronoun of any type, personal pronoun, demonstrative pronoun, relative pronoun, يعني a proper noun, a common noun, nouns and pronouns. That's the first thing that the صدر of the جملة اسمية may begin with, اسم صريح. نحو, like الله غفور, this is a proper noun. يعني Allah is forgiving. هذه مدرسة, this is a school. هذه is a demonstrative pronoun. أنا مجتهد, this is a personal pronoun. I am a مجتهد, diligent, hardworking one. So this is the first thing the جملة اسمية may begin with, اسم صريح, يعني a noun or a pronoun. با, the second thing it may begin with is مصدر مؤول, يعني a مصدر مؤول, يعني meaning a phrase, a clause that consists of the particle N, al-masdar, N that's used for the masdar, and the verb. The particle N and a verb together is what is known as masdar mu'awwal, meaning it can be interpreted into a clear masdar, infinitive. Word that has the meaning of an action without reference to time or who did the action. Masdar mu'awwal. Yani it's the clause that consists of N and the verb. So, for example, wa an tasumu خير لكم, سورة البقرة, second surah 184, and that you all fast is better for you. فا, so, أن تصوموا, this clause أن تصوموا تقديره, يعني it is understood or estimated to be equal to صيامكم. أن تصوموا يعني صيام plus يعني تصوموا means أنتم تصوموا, so you say صيامكم. Okay, this is the master مؤول, يعني a clause consisting of a particle and a verb that can be reinterpreted or translated into an actual masdar, like siyam or qiyam or surud or nuzul and so on like this. The third thing that a jumla ismiya may begin with is harfun mushabbahun bil fi'li, a particle that resembles the verb. Particle that resembles the verb. Yani in that, it makes the noun that is its ism mansub, like a verb makes the maf'ulun bi mansub. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. This is an example. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. Here, the sentence begins with the harf مُشَبَّهٌ بِالْفِعْلِ, يعني which means, the harf مُشَبَّهٌ بِالْفِعْلِ means إِنَّ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا. الْأَحْرُوفُ الْمُشَبَّهَةُ بِالْفِعْلِ هِيَ إِنَّ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا. يعني the letters, the particles that resemble the verb are actually إِنَّ and its sisters. إِنَّ وَأَنَّ وَكَأَنَّ وَلَكِنَّ وَلَعَلَّ وَلَيْتَ, that we had in book 2. That's the jumla ismiya. As far as the jumla fi'liya, هِيَ الَّتِي صَدْرُهَا, it is the sentence that begins with صَدْرُهَا, its beginning is one of two things, فِعْلٌ تَامٌ, a complete verb, or فِعْلٌ نَاقِسٌ, an incomplete verb. The example of the فِعْل تَام is طَلَعَتْ الشَّمْسُ, the sun rose. Yani meaning it's a verb that only requires a fa'il. It doesn't require information further. It could have a maf'ulun bi or it may not have a maf'ulun bi. It could be lazim or mutaaddi, but the point is it's not a subject and then that subject we're going to tell you more information about the subject. The second type of verb that a jumla fi'liya begins with is fi'lun naqisun, the incomplete verb. Nahu, for example, kana al-jawu baridan, yani the weather was cold. So here, yani the fi'l naqis, it requires a subject, al-jawu, that we want to talk about, and then it requires another point of information that tells us something about that subject. What about al-jawu? Barid. يعني كان الجو باردا. If you just stopped and said كان الجو, the weather was, it's not complete. So it requires يعني a خبر. It begins with a جملة اسمية مبتدا and خبر. When you introduce كان, the مبتدا becomes اسم كان مرفوع and the خبر becomes خبر كان منصوب. الأفعال الناقصة هي كان وأخواتها. So just like we said, the particles that resemble the فعل are إن وأخواتها. So the af'al al-naqisa, the incomplete verbs, are kana wa akhawatuha. And there are other verbs besides akhawatu kana, but these are the main ones. The akhawatu kana, like asbaha, yani to reach the morning, adha, to reach the time of duha, amsa, to reach the evening, abata, yani for something to occur at night, sara, to become, laysa, negation, mazala, yani something is still, yani these are the akhawatu kana. What is important here is that all of the kana and its akhawat, they're all af'al naqisa. And as we'll see later on, kada wa akhawatuha, yani the verbs that represent something about to happen, it almost happened but it didn't happen, it is about to happen but not yet, are also yani af'al naqisa. We'll see some of them later. And we also already saw in this lesson tafiqa, and the verbs that indicate the beginning of something, like akhada and ja'ala. Okay, and we're going to close with this final point here. We're not going to look at the exercises today. We'll close with this final point, which is a chart of the two types of sentences, the jumla ismiya and jumla fi'liya, and the three ways that the jumla ismiya can begin with a clear noun, or a masdar mu'awwal, or a particle that resembles a verb, and the two ways that the jumla fi'liya may begin, yani with a complete verb or with an incomplete verb. They gave two examples of the incomplete verb. So under the jumla, we have al-jumla al-ismiya on the right side and al-jumla al-fi'liya on the left side. Under the nominal sentence on the right side, it has three ways it can begin. Allahu ghafurun, with a clear noun. Yani here in this case a proper noun. B, antasumu khayrun lakum, that you fast is better for you, beginning with a masdar mu'awwal, a particle and a verb. That can be translated into a clear, yani masdar, like a sawm or yani siyam, or sawmukum or siyamukum, khayrun lakum. And the third way, it can begin with a particle that resembles a fi'l, inna Allah ghafoor rahim, indeed Allah is forgiving, merciful. As far as the jumla fi'liya, we said it may begin with one of two types of verbs, yani the complete verb or the incomplete verb. Example of a complete verb, tala'at ash-shamsu, yani meaning it doesn't require any yani further information. It's complete, it just has its fa'il. The incomplete verb is like kana al-jawu baridan, the weather was cold. Yani it's incomplete because if it just had the yani the noun with the fat, if it just had a noun that's marfu'un like tala'at ash-shamsu, it wouldn't be complete. It would be incomplete if you just said kana al-jawu, the weather was what? Baridan. So it has an ism, which is marfu'un, al-jawu, and it has a khabar, which is mansub, baridan. And another example of the incomplete verb is وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمًا, and Allah was, or is, always, was and always will be forgiving and merciful. كَانَ اللَّهُ, if we just said كَانَ اللَّهُ, Allah was, or Allah is, yani is what? It requires something to complete, that's why it's called an incomplete verb. It requires something else about it, information, which would have been the khabar. It's the khabar of kana ghafuran rahima, and it's mansoob. We're going to stop here with this. Next week, inshallah, we're going to review this Arabic explanation, and we're going to do the exercises yani that come with this exercise number two. The question number one on the bottom is part of exercise number two. It's exercise number two, one or two A, and the following question on the next page is exercise number two, two or two B, and 3 is 2C, and 4 is 2D, and 5 is 2E, and 6 is 2F, and 7 is 2G. And then we come to exercise number 3, tafiqah, and exercise number 4. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, during these days of the month of Ramadan and the days that follow, that he grant us success in doing more and more of those things that are pleasing to him, sincerely for his sake alone, in accordance with the authentic, established sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that Allah record, that he recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, and that he pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that he keep us, yani firm, yani upon as-sirat al-mustaqim, during this month and after it, and until we return to him in a condition of being pleased with him and pleasing to him. Ameen. Inshallah, the homework assignment will be coming tomorrow, but in the meanwhile, you can just go on and review the English key, review exercise number two, and review the exercises that we had for homework last week. We're going to be doing them in the next session, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala.